It's like you're awake but it has a dream, like quality, and the energy forms are somewhat plasma, like or etheric, and time is different and space are different. This means that they are not materialized, they are not solid matter, but are a physical material spacecraft from another planet with flesh, and, blood beings on board. If you encounter one in the dream state, they will see you, because they are in a form of energy where they see that level of frequency of energy very easily, and you will see them, and you can interact with them and the spacecraft. It doesn't mean that they are angelic or non-extraterrestrial. It does mean that they are extraterrestrial and inter-dimensional, if you want to use dimension, although that is not an accurate term. In reality, we are talking about an entire spectrum of energy and reality that is a continuum, although there are certain phases to the continuum, which some would call a distinct dimension. Just like the separation of different chemicals or different densities of water and soil, there are striations at different frequencies. While there are gradations, they exist within a spectrum that is continuous, just like the electromagnetic spectrum from ultraviolet to infrared. This man had an out-of-body experience and he was conscious and awake in it. It wasn't a fantasy at all. And when he had this uncontrolled launch and encountered the extraterrestrial vehicle, the craft was of a similar density as his astral body. And yet it was still extraterrestrial, just not fully materialized. A human being looking with these material eyes would have neither seen him nor the spaceship nor the ATs, unless they had trained themselves to see the subtle energy of what scientists call neutrino light that is emitted from the astral realm. There are technological sensors that have been developed by scientists to pick up that kind of light, but that technology was stolen from them by the NRO and put out into space so they could detect ET craft when they are not materialized, to more easily target and destroy them. That is another whole discussion. When something is dematerialized for even a brief period, the resonance frequency of that object has shifted into an etheric quasi-plasma form of energy that closely approximates astral energy. Now, there are different gradations within the astral realm, from a coarser astral that is interfacing with the material existence of atoms and electromagnetic energy, all the way to the finest astral, which is called the high celestial. Every level of the astral can be interfaced technologically, if your sciences are refined enough. Entry to the finer aspects of the astral is very tightly guarded, because it requires great enlightenment to function at that level. Such realms are guarded by evolved extraterrestrials and celestial beings, by the Godhead and by forces way beyond any thing on Earth. There are extraterrestrial civilizations that are in the several hundred thousand to several million years or more technologically evolved beyond us, who are in a state of consciousness where the entire civilization is in cosmic consciousness, God consciousness, or unity consciousness or beyond. Their technologies are commensurate with their level of consciousness and enable them to understand and interface with the material universe and these finer astral and causal levels of the cosmos. They can appear and manifest like an extremely enlightened master who can materialize, dematerialize, alter form, shape, and have a presence that would feel extremely enlightened. Now, not all extraterrestrial civilizations capable of interstellar travel are at that level of development and evolution. Some are just a little beyond what we have. They're peaceful and they have established global peace, or they wouldn't have been allowed to leave their planet. They would still be under quarantine. There is an order in the universe that would prevent them from leaving, just like there is one that is preventing us from going to other star systems. But once you have established a peaceful existence, you begin to have more and more freedom of movement. The technologies, and the material sciences, become increasingly rooted in understanding the science of consciousness. Extremely evolved extraterrestrial civilizations manifest all of their spacecraft and material needs through the vibratory aspect of sound, as it relates to thought, the sound vibration of thought. In other words, the component of thought that is a sound vibration. That is how you get these truly celestial ships. They emerge from that level through the finest levels of astral energy. The components, By the time they emerge into the material plane, are extraordinarily pure, and have within them the fullness of the light of the celestial shining from within them. This is why some of the ships that I have been close to and seen fully materialized have a light not of this world. It is so pure and celestial, and yet it is fully materialized and solid. I have been told by people who have studied the very advanced extra-terrestrial vehicles that they are extraordinarily sophisticated, even the crude ones are seamless. There is never a seam. How are they made? Well, they are not made by taking a chunk of iron ore or alloy and banging it crudely into a shape. They are actually made through what I call infra-ultrasound. The object is made by assembling and maneuvering the astral matrix to build the template of the craft at that subtle level, and it then emerges as a perfect molded form into material physical molecules. As they emerge, using this infra-ultrasonic way of manufacturing, the etheric and astral energy level imbues the spaceship with intelligence. They can be so structured technologically at a sub-atomic level, that there is organizing intelligence associated with it, and life. So they are actually intelligent bio-machines. They are so sophisticated that they take on a level of self-integration and intelligence. People who I have interviewed who were actually present where these ET craft were downed described these craft as acting like they were injured and were trying to heal themselves. They had what appeared to be a circulatory system, and an immune system, and were conscious. And we are talking about the ship now. One of the craft that crashed in New Mexico had a gash in it, and the craft was trying to heal itself. This witness said it was like when you cut yourself and the wound heals shut, but it was a time-lapse version, healing and trying to close right in front of his eyes. So you're dealing with a level of ultra, nano, technology. At this level, astral and death. Etheric energy emerges into this realm and organizes atoms and molecules. Such craft have a type of artificial intelligence associated with it, and a life force associated with it, like a bio-machine. This is not your grandfather's Oldsmobile. The question is, why would they need technology in ships at all? They don't need them any more than we do. Astrally, we can go anywhere we want to. But if they want to interface with the material universe in a way that is material, they need a material aspect. So they choose to keep it, and they utilize it. It becomes a matter of choice. They can appear at any point without a ship, without a spacecraft. But so can humans. Humans even at this point have teleportation capabilities. Unfortunately, they are being used by people who shouldn't have them, to go from one point or another all over the planet. Without a jet, or without a ship or a car, or even an alien reproduction vehicle. This has been done with technologies that are being developed in classified projects. Throughout recorded history, there are reports of humans who would be in some country far away and would, through the operation of their own will, bilocate their body and materialize to visit a friend somewhere else. There are accounts even in the 20th century of this happen. That are credible accounts. So if humans can do that, why can't extraterrestrials? But technological means and spacecraft are necessary if you are going to exist materially in difficult environments, say underwater, in deep space, etc. So even very advanced ET peoples do have craft. Remember the story of the ET that came to the bay window in England in 1997? When Shariad Amayak found out her cancer was metastatic and I had metastatic cancer. It came out of the sky. It was lit like a star and came from a point of light, which was a craft. The ET arrived in a nearly astral form, but it was physically visible with the eyes of every one. It was not a celestial perception. It was material light, and it came through the window, over to the fireplace and then, whoosh. Manifested as a scintillating luminous extraterrestrial being. These ETs are from material worlds like Earth and they have biological people on them, who are evolved enough in consciousness to develop their material sciences so that they involve these other finer levels of the cosmology, including consciousness, the astral realm and the causal, thought vibration realm. They have material sciences for creating objects utilizing the understanding of causal thought vibration, sound vibration, and other celestial sciences. But if they want to be here materially, they will be here with a material craft and a material body. They will utilize that, even though they are in a state of consciousness where they can also be here in a spiritual state, even as a human can be someplace out in space spiritually today. Humans do have the ability to be in a spiritual state and see remote places, but it is still nice to get in a car and see the Smithsonian in one's material body. Also, however, keep in mind that many of the craft that are extraterrestrial, that of beings on board, have robotic bio, machine humanoids rather than actual extraterrestrial beings, for security reasons. So there is relative non-locality, and the technologies associated with these relative states and gradations are distinct, even though they are on a continuum of reality. It is like the difference between a Model T and nice 7 series BMW. There is commonality and yet there are distinctions, and there are some really marked distinctions. The exploration of the cosmos is virtually endless, and not just the three-dimensional material cosmos. As civilizations evolve, they discover the astral and then finer levels that then cross over into the causal, which also have coarser and finer levels. The numbers of degrees of gradations are virtually infinite, and each has its own applications, technologies, sciences and the like. My experience is that there is a highly organized inter-planetary and inter-species group that directs and plans anything that would have to do with extraterrestrial civilizations inter-facing with an emerging world such as our own. It is highly ordered, it is not space anarchy. Even at our stage of evolution, we have at least a semblance of inter-national cooperation and organization for international air travel and things of this sort. There is a highly functional inter-planetary diplomatic operation that controls and coordinates interaction with Earth, and it has been operative for a very long time, certainly since before recorded human history. Humans have attained, in individual instances, the highest level of evolution possible, as high as any in creation. But collectively, there is a great deal to be desired. The potential within humanity is equal to the potential within any species in the universe. Our capacity to evolve into very highly conscious enlightened individuals with a concomitant social structure is equal to any civilization that has ever existed or will ever exist in the universe. That we are not there yet only means that our journey is not complete. This is why I think life on Earth, and humanity specifically, is very cherished and greatly loved and is being nurtured, observed and protected. There is great anticipation that we will soon grow up and quit club, being ourselves in the head, like a bunch of crazy cavemen, and begin to live in a civilized fashion. And indeed this is the time when that will happen, and peace will be firmly established permanently. And by permanently, I mean for hundreds of thousands of years, in an unbroken period of peace and growing enlightenment. This era is a universal cycle. And this universal cycle has ramifications for Earth and other planets as well. Indeed, there may be planets that are at a similar level of development as ours or even less technologically developed than ours. But know this, the cycle we are in is one of universal peace on Earth and in heaven, on Earth and throughout the cosmos. We live in the time of the greatest potential, and the greatest challenges. Humans should not be down on ourselves, in terms of our capacity. We are not inferior, nor are we superior, to any other intelligent species in the universe. We are absolutely equal, because within us, as within them, the universe is folded. The universal concept, man, has equal potential for complete enlightenment and the realization of the existence of the infinite and all of its applications and wondrous sciences, within each intelligent being. Extraterrestrial civilizations that are here, I am sure, have very specific purposes and functions. One of them is to be able to interact with humans that are peaceful towards them and are willing to interact openly with them. This is why the CE5 initiative has met with so much success. Any effort to contact ETs peacefully is greatly respected. Because let's face it, out of the 6 billion people on Earth, there aren't that many people who know about this, and of those, there are a very few number who are actually willing to do anything proactive and positive to contact them. It is time for humanity to make peaceful contact. The big theme is one of increasing levels of oneness and integration on every level of existence. An era of at least 500,000 years of human peace and fulfillment has opened, and we are witnesses to its early light. We will see the complete agreement between the spiritual realm and science. The full elucidation of these wondrous sciences and their applications to benefit the entire planet will assure a time of unbroken abundance and peace. These sciences, used for peaceful purposes, will create a civilization that will witness an end to material poverty, and with that will come a permanent foundation for a just and lasting peace. Only then will we be suitable members of an interstellar community of people. The current state of affairs will change because it must, but it won't be easy. Easy would have been 100 to 150 years ago, but we have missed that window. Through our own perversity and rebellion, and our refusal to do what was right, we have now reached this millennium without yet having established peace, without having turned the swords into plowshares. Hence, the transition is going to be either difficult or genuinely catastrophic. I say this very frankly. I have no illusions about it, nor should you. And yet, no effort in this regard is wasted, even though at times we may be demoralized, and even at times we may see nothing but despair and despondency. In reality, everything is still possible, and everything is in play. While it is important not to ignore the risks of the present era, what is essential is that we have our sights clearly fixed on that far horizon, the inevitable civilization that will be established on Earth, and that we are here to help create. We must keep moving forward, and doing the right thing and speaking the truth. Even though some people may not like the truth they hear, it needs to be told. In one of my lucid dreams as a teen, I was up in the sky floating, as if in a UFO. I found myself in a part of the world where I had never been, and it was the west coast of America. I was hovering over the LA basin, and I saw the buildings of downtown Los Angeles. The buildings that I saw weren't there at that time, but all of them are there now. The Bonaventure Center was the big one. It wasn't there then, but it is there now. It looked like daytime, and there were enormous changes occurring on the Earth. Suddenly, there was a tsunami coming in from the Pacific. If you can visualize the Bonaventure Center being about an inch in height, this tsunami was 2 to 3 inches high, so 2 to 3 times the height of the tallest buildings in LA. This tsunami came in and completely swept across the LA basin. And yet, as this was happening, I felt a strange calmness. I felt no fear at all. I was just looking as if a movie was being shown of events that could happen if we didn't change our course. Now, this dream happened around 1970. There wasn't a lot of talk about global warming and the fact that we could have a sudden environmental collapse. In the dream, I could see that there were enormous geophysical changes and environmental changes that were happening. And they led to some events that was sudden and catastrophic. Then, as the dream proceeded, I looked around, and as far as I could see, the sky was filled with thousands of extraterrestrial vehicles. They were involved in some kind of assistance effort. We are in a time now where the chance of serious and sudden environmental events is growing. There exist within covert programs scalar weapon systems that could trigger enormous earthquakes and earth changes like this. There is no question that these projects are deliberately, with malice aforethought, withholding those earth-saving energy technologies that could prevent the melting of the polar ice caps, and other catastrophic changes in the environment. So whether it is through an extraordinary and coveted technology or through the consequences of our social and industrial stupidity, we are now at a time where even mainstream science and the Pentagon are putting out warnings of sudden climatic and environmental changes. I am not saying this at all to cause any panic. That is why up until now I've never spoken publicly about these things. But we are at the point where we need to know that this is one possible future that is unfortunately becoming more probable. Subsequently, I had a recurring dream where I am shown a color-coded global map, and the colors went from blue to yellow to orange to red. And blue areas were regions that had less catastrophic geophysical effect, with yellow, more, orange quite a bit of damage and red catastrophic. The red areas were regions of massive destruction or loss of entire land masses. The entire continent of Australia was red, as were many other areas in Asia. The area that was most blue was an area that was in the upper Midwest and high plains of the United States, extending into Canada. The most orange and red were all coastal areas, and particularly the Pacific Ring of Fire, in parts of Europe. Particularly going up through the Pyrenees and parts of the Alps, I saw all the gas pipelines exploding, and with them all the villages, as the earth changed, and the earth's crust was cracking. Entire land masses were gone, and others emerged or came up from the oceans. This happened not over thousands of years, but pretty much overnight. In another lucid dream, I saw the Earth spin and tilt out of its normal axis so that the Sun seemed to stay in one place, and the stars were moving in a very strange way. Once night came, the climatic changes were enormous, and there were phalanxes of tornadic storms sweeping across from the Rockies to the Appalachians across the central part of the United States. Most of the major cities were either in utter chaos or destroyed. In the event of a significant change, and this has evolved since the nuclear era, the government has a system called the Continuity of Government Plan, or COG. There are underground facilities here in Virginia, for example, where there is a continuously operating parallel government. I have a very close friend who served in one of those positions, so that if the government of the United States had been wiped out by some event, nuclear or massive environmental, he would have stepped into the position of one of the cabinet secretaries, and he was operating in this facility. There is actually more than one facility. There is the old one, at Mount Weather, VA, and there's actually another state-of-the-art one that is not far from our home. The idea is that there would be people left to govern, but it would be very difficult, and there would be mass chaos. In another lucid dream, I saw that an asteroid was coming from space. It had made its way through because we had forced the ETs to shrink behind the crossing point of light. One of the asteroids hit, and then there was another one that was coming, and we knew it was going to be much bigger. We were talking to people via shortwave radio and learned that there was no electrification in all of North America or Europe. The first one that hit was so strong that every piece of infrastructure, meaning every bridge and every roadway, had collapsed west of the Mississippi. CONUS, the Continental United States Command, was mobilizing the military, moving west, trying to build temporary bridges and setting up operations to assist people. But the one that was still coming was going to be several orders of magnitude stronger than that one, and we were just sitting waiting for it. In some areas the atmosphere appeared to be ignited, and everything underneath the area was burned. After this had happened, there were still people on the Earth who were living in a brief dark age. I couldn't tell if it was for months or years. But I got the feeling it was between a few months and 7 years. Then, I was out in space again, looking at the Earth and saw a light emerge. It was both a spiritual light and an electrical light, and it was emanating from the area of Norway or Scandinavia. It was very specific. The time frame was towards the end of the last century and the early part of the 21st century. There was nothing more specific. I also remember back in the early 70s, seeing headlines of papers written in huge letters describing events that had happened, some of which have actually come to pass, like 9/11, but others that have not yet happened. And it was almost like a newsreel. It sounds ridiculous, but it was in living color, very realistic. And these headlines were marching through time, over a period of many years. Now, time is not fixed. Time is relative and so is space. And all these things can happen or not happen depending on what we do. There are some things that we have already avoided, and other things we haven't. Everything is in play. We have to understand the nature of the interplay between what individual humans do, what large powerful institutions are doing, what the collective actions of humans create, and what the divine plan is. There are certain inevitable things that are going to happen because we are not going to be allowed to destroy Mother Earth in one feckless, blind generation. Earth is intended to be here for the evolution of intelligent life for hundreds of thousands of years. She loves us and is very patient, but that patience has limits, and if we do not change, the Earth will cast off her burden. Well, cast off how? Like a dog shaking fleas off if need be. Literally shaking. It all depends on whether we're willing to consciously and willingly use our free will to lift the burden and change the way we're doing things. So none of these things are absolutely inevitable. They may be likely. And it is becoming more likely, because we have refused to do the things that common sense and wisdom would require. Unfortunately, the current status quo of increasing warfare, covert actions, and ruthlessness in enforcing secrecy is the antithesis of the direction we should be going in, and therefore does not augur well for an easy resolution of the current conundrum. There are things that humans are doing that can help or harm, and there are things that extraterrestrials will do to help. They're certainly not here to harm. If they wanted to harm, it would be all over by now. Every individual has some role to play in how this is all going to end up. And this is why it is so complex. The Chernobyl event actually could have been much worse. Recently, people have surfaced with photographs of ET craft above Chernobyl that are thought to have helped stabilize and prevent some of the worst sequela from happening. I am sharing these things with some trepidation, because people are going to take them and say, Dr. Greer said this is absolutely going to happen. That is not what I am saying. I am saying these are possible to probable, some are very likely events. And yet, collectively, as people, we can affect that outcome if we so choose to. It is never too late. The question is, has this happened before? Yes. We have passed this way before. You know, there are the leg ends of Atlantis, and there are the stories of Lemuria and Mu in the Pacific. It is true there have been entire continents and civilizations at or beyond the level of where we are technologically for which there are virtually no traces. What traces there are have been suppressed, because it flies in the face of orthodox science, orthodox archaeology, orthodox anthropology and orthodox religion. Remember, fanaticism consists of redoubling your efforts when you have forgotten your goal. The goal of truth has been forgotten by many people, whether scientific or religious. Therefore, information does not make it out to the public because those in control are guided by lust for power, control dramas, false belief systems and corruption. The difference is that during the last cycle, which was 400 and some thousand years, civilizations disappeared and long periods of time transpired before human society regrouped. In this new cycle, no matter how dark it may get, the dawn has already occurred. The new day has already been established. And the next 500,000 years will be marked by the fact that there will be no loss of continuity of civilization once we make this transition. I am qualifying, once we make this transition. There will be an unbroken progressive civilization for hundreds of thousands of years. There will not be a rise and fall of various civilizations that become somewhat enlightened and then sink back into ignorance and warfare and another stone age. Since Earth has been in her orbit, there is nothing in the past history of Earth that equates to this time. That is how incredibly beautiful it is. So don't be overwhelmed by the chaos and the madness that is around us. I am only sharing these things to indicate that there are some possible futures that are rather worrisome and that may be imminent, the exact timing of which could be anywhere from this moment to the next decade or two. If we are wise, we may avoid the worst of these things. In one of my experiences, I was on board an extraterrestrial vehicle, looking down into Mexico. I saw a massive volcano, Popo, which is the fourth largest volcano in the world, and a severely dangerous one. When I first started going there, I told people, this is going to get more and more active, And shortly after that, it started erupting more frequently. And people asked, how did you know that? I explained that all these ET craft are going in and out of it, trying to stabilize it, and are investigating it, because it is a very unstable part of the Pacific Ring of Fire.